Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to Las Vegas, where Penn State plays basketball here tomorrow night with Colorado, and then it's either SMU or Kent State on Wednesday in this tournament. It's great to be here and great to be with you. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. You need to have a great insurance group that guides you through every step of the way. Make sure you have the right insurance at the right price. And then, God forbid anything happens, and you go to them, they take care of business quickly because they know that you are in distress and you need answers. And you need to have whatever process accelerated. So that's Purdy Insurance. I mean, they do everything that you need and go the extra mile all the time. We wish happy holidays to the entire Purdy Insurance family, and obviously they wish happy holidays to you. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, which is mobile here in Las Vegas. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
It's not working right now, Steve. I have it ready to go,
which means it's not working. Which means while Kevin gets the equipment to work properly, we will then bring up this day in sports history, which we moved to this time spot anyway because we had Jim Roth on.
Good call.
And it's one thing about this day in sports history. It's always a flexible. We can always be flexible with it based on who we have as a guest. And we started in 1951 when Joe DiMaggio announced his retirement from Major League Baseball. Joe DiMaggio, you know, with all the titles and everything he had, hit 361 career home runs. Do you know how many times he struck out? 369. He only hit 8 more strikeouts than home runs. If that were the case, Ryan Howard would have 2,000 home runs. By the way, the Phillies president, Dave Montgomery, I met him on Saturday. And a really nice long talk with him, too. He and a friend of his were at the... I went to the Penner Sinus game with Dick and in the afternoon because we had time to kill. And Dave Montgomery, I'll tell you, he does not like you. Woo! No, I'm just
kidding. Doesn't know me from Adam.
Great guy. And then the former Governor Ed Rendell was there, too, and talked with him for a while. The governor always has, the former governor, Governor Rendell, always has his sports opinions, and we had a good talk with him. But Dave Montgomery, he and his friend, both very knowledgeable about Penn State football. That's why we had a good long talk with him about all this. They don't like you. They don't like your opinions very much. Just kidding. Just kidding. I sent you a text after.
Yes.
I sent Kevin a text. Just talked to Phillies president Dave Montgomery. Doesn't like you.
I said, I have a friend that says give him a chance. So I'm doing that.
There you go.
Hey, I do have
Tom
the call.
Landry. Well, I'm not done with this now.
Oh,
you
sorry.
You lost your turn.
I did. I lost my chance. Figures.
You lost your turn. Right? We'll get to your turn in a moment.
Okay.
Tom Landry accepted the position of head coach of the Cowboys on this day in 1959. First season, they were 0-11-1. They did not get to 500 until 1965 when they went 7-7. And then, of course, boom, hit the accelerator, went on that great run. Vince Lombardi, 1969, coached his final game. The Redskins lost to the Cowboys and Tom Landry 20-10. The Redskins went 7-5-2 which was the first winning season for the Redskins in 14 years. Now you know what the irony of that is? His first and only season with the Redskins, 7-5-2. You know what the irony is? Vince Lombardi's first team with the Green Bay Packers in 1959 went 7-5. And it was like their first winning season in about a dozen years. 1975, John Riggins became the first New York Jets player to gain 1,000 yards. George Blanda, final regular season game in 1975. Youngwood, Pennsylvania's own, became the first professional football player to reach 2,000 points, 2,002 points in a 26-year career. And that is this day in sports history. Time now, because it's his turn, for the play-by-play call of the day.
27-0, but the Steelers after the picks, first and 10 at the 23 of Denver. Shotgun for Ben. He's back. Throws it for the end zone. Touchdown! Antonio Brown! And the Steelers have come back and gone ahead. A 23-yard strike, and it was a bullet for Ben. And Antonio goes into the record books again.
Bill Hillgrove with the call on the Steelers radio network. The Steelers fell behind in this game, caught a huge break on the Jordan Norwood punt return, where he basically faked every Steeler out and brought it back for a touchdown. And the, you know, because the ball was laying on the field, the Broncos started to run onto the field. Although it looked like one of the Steelers, Shamarco Thomas, may have touched the ball with his foot out of bounds.
See, that's what I thought happened.
If they had red flagged it. See, I looked at it. I kept looking to see how definitive it was that he touched the ball. And I couldn't really see how definitive it was that he touched the ball.
See, I thought he had his hand flat on the ball. I'm like, what do you have to do to down a ball right now?
And, but then Norwood took it, and of course, you know, the Steelers were all out of whack on that play, and Jordan took it all the way back. And, but the Steelers were down in this game, and I think one of the big keys to them winning the game, I think, is the injury Brock Osweiler had at the end of the first half. He wasn't the same in the second half.
Well, that Sim says he didn't see any difference in his throwing.
Yeah, I'll get back to you on that, and I'll get back to you on the source.
that's why I said that. Okay, listen, I will say this.
Okay, my analyst is my analyst that I work with. Is really good.
It's really good. All right. Well, listen.
If
here's
wants to complain. I'll say mine's Jack Camp. Okay, I'll get back to you.
Here's the real problem. Denver had opportunities to win that game even after the wheels were coming off in the second half. Their receivers can't catch anything.
Yeah, well, the big turnover late.
Well, sure, but there were three, four drops before that.
But I'll say this. The Steelers now, I think, are the only team the Patriots, I think, would have to legitimately fear. Denver, I think Osweiler, Osweiler has done a really good job. It runs Gary Kubiak's system really well. Fair enough. But do they threaten the Patriots playing in Foxborough? No. I don't think so. Houston, no. Jets, no. Kansas City's hot, but I don't think so. I don't think Alex Smith has enough. You know, Cincinnati with A.J. McCarron, as much as you have professed deep professional love for him, no. And
let's not go that far.
Well, you've talked about A.J. McCarron for a year and a half. And
he won yesterday.
And there's the they beat San Francisco. I think that was expected.
Agreed.
Right. Next are the Steelers. The Patriots beat the Steelers on opening night. But there are two critical points about a Patriots-Steelers rematch if it were to happen. Number one, the Steelers are a different team now than opening night. Would you agree with that? I think they've kind of settled in and found their groove.
Offensively, yes. Defensively, I'm not sure.
No, I agree with that. But offensively now, they've got enough offense to compensate for their defense.
Yes.
Right. And number two, and this is just as important, the Patriots are a different team than opening night. And I think that is something, and going down the road is going to be something really, really important moving forward. I think that's, I think they're just different teams now than what they were before. Just different teams. And I think that's why the Steelers are the most dangerous team in the playoffs of everybody. Roethlisberger's playing at an over-the-top level. You know, yeah, he'll make a mistake here and there, so what? But when he's out there, you feel like they're going to drive downfield and score any time. Antonio Brown is playing at a great level, Richard Sherman aside. I mean, he's playing at a great level. I think the other receivers have come on to the point where you have to make decisions on what to do with them. And Heath Miller's playing at a great level. When he makes a 1 yard catch and they all chant Heath. It's really cool when that happens. But I mean, he's still playing at a decent level.
If
on the holding penalty last night, I didn't hear them yell Heath on that play. I'd have yelled Heath. Hey, called 83.
If the playoffs were to start right now, the Steelers would be a sixth seed and they would play the Broncos. Ironically enough.
Yeah, but they'd be. Yeah, and they'd play them in Denver.
In Denver, correct.
Right, but they'd still beat them. I think they would. Denver, because of Heath Miller, Denver did not get the pressure on Roethlisberger they hoped. Yeah, they got a couple sacks, but they didn't get the pressure that they wanted to on him. And they kept Miller in a lot as an extra blocker off the edge, because with Ware and with Von Miller, tough matchups. And they did a good job on that last night. Second half defensively, obviously they played great. Well, they shut them out in the second half, right?
Right. And that's the third. Isn't that the third straight week they've been shut out in the second half? Denver, that is?
Denver,
I know twice,
yeah,
for
Denver's
sure.
They've been shut out three straight weeks in the second half. Oakland shut them out the week before. And I'd still say part of that is I don't care about it. I didn't see any difference in throwing motion, the whole thing. Look. You know, I don't care if it's your non-throwing shoulder, which it was for Osweiler. There's a reason he went into the locker room before the end of the half. I mean, he was hurt. And I think that the Steelers are the most dangerous team. Now, on the other side, Carolina wins again. And now let me tell you about one of the funny moments here. Dick Caron, Jeff and I, we finally got here and could settle down and at least get something to eat. I hadn't eaten all day. And the Carolina Giants game was going on. So we're just down, just getting something here in the hotel. And the entire place erupts because the Giants scored and tied the game. Now, this is the state of sports out here. They all erupted because the Giants tied the game. When Carolina kicked the game-winning field goal, guess what we heard? Nothing. You want to know why? Because when the Giants tied the game and they all went insane, that meant the Giants beat the spread.
I didn't even think about that. I was just thinking it must be a lot of New Yorkers there.
Because remember, we're at sportsbooks all over the place. Sportsbooks here in the hotel. Sportsbooks here in the hotel. Sportsbooks everywhere here. Okay? When Carolina kicked the game-winning field goal, who cares? It meant nothing changing hands. And it was dead silent. And all of us commented at the table about it. It's like, how about that? You know, Carolina wins. It was like, yeah, because the key was the money on the touchdown to tie it.
What was the over-under? What was the over-under on Odell Beckham's personal fouls for the game?
I have no idea, but he's about to make an appearance on the show here in about 15 minutes.
he's been suspended for one game officially, by the way.
Well, he should be suspended, and we'll talk about that in about 15 minutes. Carolina's undefeated. Arizona is the most dangerous team here. I mean, I'd like to say it's Green Bay, but Green Bay just kind of like is getting by, getting through. And if they could play more games at Lambeau Field in the playoffs, they'd be ultra dangerous. But when you're the three seed, you're not going to play that championship game at home, because unless there's You know, you're just not going to. You're going to have to play either at Arizona or you're going to have to play at Carolina someplace. Arizona became a slightly less dangerous team last night because last night during the game, Tyrann Mathieu tore his ACL. That was huge. And he is now out for the year. Tyrann Mathieu is the new era Troy Polamalu. And you don't like that comparison, do you?
No, I'm all right with that.
But Troy Polamalu was, I thought, one of the five best players of the early 2000s from 2000 to 2010. And I don't mean one of the five best defensive backs. I've always felt he was one of the five best players regardless of position. And Tyrann Mathieu is very much that wild card that you don't know how to account for, where he's got great instincts. I think he's probably a better cover guy than Troy Polamalu was. But great instincts, speed to make up for, great punt returner when you want to put him back there to do that. Him tearing his ACL is a huge blow to the defense for the Cardinals. That's a big blow. And that's one of the tough ones. And LeSean McCoy, by the way, tore his MCL.
Marcus Mariota, by the way, has a sprain in his MCL, and he is done for the season, according to an NFL report.
Yeah, well, a sprain in his MCL probably knocks him out 2 weeks, so they're just going to shut him down.
Right, two to four weeks, usually, yeah.
Right, they're just going to shut him down, and that's the smart thing to do. Just don't even bother, because you're not playing for anything right now. And he has already proven that he's the quarterback of the future there. I think that's fair enough. I mean, I don't think Tennessee has to worry about drafting a quarterback. He actually has turned out to be a really good draft pick for them. We'll take a break here in Las Vegas. A lot to talk about, including what I see outside my window. A beautiful new arena being built. The NHL in Las Vegas. We'll talk about that in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car. Picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself. And negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word. Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Shots are Viva Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas.
Yes, the King, along with Anne Margaret.
Thank you very much.
Viva Las Vegas. Yeah. What, there's a bowl game going on right now?
Yeah, that would be the Hilltoppers in South Florida. Last I checked, there was a 7-point game.
Oh, cool. Yeah, North Carolina A&T beat Alcorn State 41-34. Arizona beat New Mexico 45-37. Utah here beat BYU 35-28. Appalachian State beat Ohio 31-29. Down 24-7 in the fourth and one. San Jose State won. Louisiana Tech won. Right now, Western Kentucky is playing South Florida at Marlins Park. All right, Las Vegas and pro sports. We'll talk about that along with our bozo of the day after the news, bottom of the hour. Better than $50,000 now for the Needy Family Fund. We need to grow it even higher between now and the end of the holidays on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Now, it's a holiday week. Did they give you a car this week?
No, not this week, but, you know, they still have an opportunity for you to pick up the vehicle we talked about last week. At least I don't think it was sold yet. I'll have to, but if you call about it, you can ask them about the 2015 Ford Focus that we talked about all week last week with $4,750 off the sticker. If you use Ford credit financing, also available with $3,750 and 0% financing for 60 months and 1.9 for 72 months, all you have to do is have a trade. But again, there was only one available, and I know it was there on Friday. Now, whether it made it through the weekend or not, you'll have to check with the folks at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and find out. But if they don't have that one, I'm sure they're going to make you a deal on something else.
Time now for our sports bozo of the day. It's obvious. It's Odell Beckham Jr. of the New York Giants and what he did to Josh Norman yesterday during the game. He's been suspended for one game, and he'll be heavily fined. Tom Coughlin said, look, I'm not going to stand here and condone this. Not in the least. Pretty easy call. For Odell Beckham Jr. as the sports bozo of the day. All right, here in Las Vegas, where right now it's all of 1:38 in the afternoon.
Well, it's going to be nice for watching Monday Night Football tonight, though.
Sure. I don't know how much of Monday Night Football I'm going to take in. The Lions and the Saints. When the show is over, the game plan is for Dick, Jeff, and I to get in the car and go out to the Hoover Dam. And then we'll pick a spot to eat, I think, at some point, probably down on the Strip. Because we actually, when we went last night down there, now, I walked down there. You know, you make certain choices, and I was going to be a little bit late for the 4 o'clock mass, and Father Davey puts his head down. But I still made it there. Father Davey now puts his head back up. Okay. And I thought about, I'm going to be a little bit late. Maybe I should go to the 5, which was an all-Spanish mass, by the way. But I still decided to go to 4 o'clock anyway, even though it was going to be a little bit late. Like, you make certain timing decisions like that. Because then I got out of there at 5 o'clock, and I walked through that area by Paris. Again, I was there about a half hour before everything happened. And then I finally left. But like I said, I left and kind of walked out of there about 6:10, 6:15, and started walking off the Strip down Flamingo, down toward the Rio and the Palms, and then cut back over the Orleans. It's about a mile and a half to 2 mile walk from that point back to the hotel where we're at. And because of the timing of all that, I'd been standing where the accident happened about 30 minutes beforehand and then came back and passed through it and then down to work my way back to the hotel. And then Jeff, Dick, Karen, and I came back up here. And then, of course, we saw before our eyes all of this stuff happening in front of us because the incident, you know, because as soon as I got back to the hotel, boom, I didn't even walk in the hotel. I got in the car and we left. So I went back up there. And timing means everything. And we heard about the wrestlers from the Philadelphia area that were injured in this. 4 wrestlers from Pacific University were injured. They've charged the woman with murder. The woman, the 32-year-old woman from Arizona that was killed, is a mother of 3. So it's, yeah. So I guess we can bring a little perspective here as to what happened. Let's got a couple of other things. I mentioned earlier we're going to talk about Las Vegas and pro sports. College sports first, third quarter with about 11 and a half to go. South Florida leads Western Kentucky 14-10 in this one in the Miami Beach Bowl that takes place at Marlins Park. They're playing in the afternoon because obviously ESPN is Monday Night Football tonight. Look, bowl games are made for TV shows now. I mean, they're all in time slots now. You know, bowl games opposite head-to-head with each other, except on New Year's Day you'll have three going out at the same time. But that's the only time. Other than that, bowl games do not go head-to-head because ESPN has a financial stake in most of these, which is fine. I mean, it's smart on their part. It's great. That's not a complaint. It's smart, good professional programming by them. People like to watch bowl games. They schedule them, and they do it in such a way where they stagger all the start times, and they get ratings, and they sell them, and good for them. And I think it's smart on their part. I would hope that I'd have the kind of foresight to make that kind of decision in business, because I think it's a good business move by them. Las Vegas and professional sports. Just outside, as we look out, when I walk into the hallway, from my room, my view of my room is of the mountains and the palms and the Rio I can see outside my room. And then if I go into the hallway, you can look straight at the Strip. And the first thing you see at the Strip is this huge new arena, the MGM AEG Arena. They are not quite finished building it yet. And when we drove past it last night before, when we drove past this last night as all hell was breaking loose on the Strip, Dick said, "Hey, Steve," he says, "what is that?" And I said, "I think that's the arena they're building for the NHL team. And they have applied for an NHL expansion team here." The arena is almost done. The first event in there will be April 6th. It'll be a concert with Wayne Newton, Shamir, and the Killers. And then on the 19th, they have the Harlem Globetrotters. Then a series of other things in here, including, the Ronda Rousey home rematch for MMA. This arena has that event on July 9th.
Is that a done deal?
In all likelihood, it's a done deal. But they have it on the schedule. MMA has a July 9th event already on the schedule in this arena here. That's got to be it.
I know they were talking about it. I didn't know if it was. Maybe they're just planning ahead. Right.
No, I think yet have the date booked. They've got the date booked in this arena. So the arena, they're putting the finishing touches on the arena now. It's still a couple cranes still outside of it taking care of a couple things. But it's supposed to be done with that first event in 3.5 months. So it should be done in the next 2 to 3 months, and then they'll, and get in there. Duke and UNLV are going to play a game in there in December next year at this time, like the 15th of December. So what about the NHL and Las Vegas? They want to put, Las Vegas wants, a guy named Bill Foley is the guy that leads this, and he has secondary backing from the Maloof brothers, who own the Palms and are the former owners of the Sacramento Kings in the NBA. So they've combined with Foley as the lead, and they've been able now to get to stage three in the expansion process. They wanted to sell 5,000 season tickets initially. They did that in 2 weeks. Now, these are deposits on half deposits. And they did in 2 weeks. They then kicked it up to 10,000 as the next goal. They got that. There are 13,200 season ticket commitments. So they've achieved every goal so far to this stage. And they've gone to the NHL, which says, we're still examining things because Quebec also has put in an expansion bid. This city is a city of about 585,000. There are a lot of pluses to having a team here. A, it's a fresh professional market. There's not a professional franchise in this state. Yes, you have minor league baseball. The Mets minor league baseball team, for example, plays their Pacific Coast League games here. But this is a state and an area that does not have a single professional sports team. The closest professional sports team to here would be in Phoenix and then Los Angeles. That's as close. In other words, pretty hefty amount of mileage to get between the two. So it's a fresh professional market. Big plus. Enthusiasm for it. Big plus. Now, what are the negatives? The negatives to putting a team here would be it's a population of 585,000, but it's not a huge metro area. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. Not a huge metro area here. Once you get outside here, you certainly have some suburbs, but this isn't like the suburbs of Philly where it's sprawling all from New Jersey all the way around. You've got some suburbs, but that's it. Now here's the second key part. And this is a part of me, which I don't think a lot of people have thought about. When do people work in this town? At night. Which is the same time the games are being played. Think about it. This is not a 9-to-5 town. Okay? This is a town where, like, for example, we went over to the Wynn last night to have dinner. That's where we were headed when all this was happening. And, you know, they're open all hours. And let's just say there's a heavy concentration of individuals in there, gambling and so forth, which means you have to have full staff working and so forth, between 5 in the evening and 1 in the morning, as an example, even 2 in the morning. So think about that. That's a key part to this that I don't think a lot of people realize. When do people in this town work? In other words, the free time to go to a game. It's not a 9-to-5 town. And yeah, you have 13,200 season tickets, and it's a fresh market. Now, what about the NBA here? You'd think the NBA would be a great fit here. The NBA has done a great job here of using this as a tourist destination as part of their schedule. The Summer League takes place here in July, and it is well attended and very popular here. And the NBA Board of Governors uses this as a meeting point during the Summer League. The NBA will bring in as many as 4,000 people just with NBA roots, Summer League teams, things like that, during the month of July. And then the attendance at games, where people now are going to games with the NBA for the Summer League, is off the charts. So it's been a great tourist thing for them. But the NBA, you know, they had the All-Star game here in 2007. They played it over at the Thomas and Mack Center. Has shown no inclination to expand in here, but they are using it as, to use a Las Vegas term, a chip. Las Vegas, in some ways, is their Los Angeles. The NFL has brilliantly used Los Angeles to get stadiums built across the country. Lucas Oil Stadium. Colts threatened to go to where? Los Angeles. Minnesota, Ziggy Wolf. I just saw the brand new stadium there in March. $975 million. Watch them tear down the old one, even. And where did Ziggy Wolf threaten to move to, Kevin?
Los Angeles.
I love working with somebody who's in tune.
I was going to say St. Louis, but I knew that wasn't right.
Oh, I just want to go to the bottom of the abyss.
You're already there.
You're already there. I mean, now look at St. Louis. St. Louis wants to build a new stadium, National Car Rental Stadium, on the waterfront. At the Mississippi River. And what is Stan Kroenke doing? He wants to move the team to where? Los Angeles. Everybody has used Los Angeles as a chip. The NBA has used Las Vegas as a chip. Milwaukee is building a brand new arena to replace the Bradley Center. And Governor Scott Walker signed on to it, the whole deal. Where did Milwaukee threaten to go to? Las Vegas. I think any professional team here would do fine, especially if there's one. I think the NHL would do fine here. I think a lot of, you know, teams would certainly love coming here. You don't worry. You know, I think a lot of people thought when I was talking about the negative of coming here, they thought I was going to mention sportsbook. No, I don't. I think that doesn't matter. That's off the boards. I don't think people really care about that. But it's, when does your population physically go to work? Well, a chunk of the population here is working at night, because this is, while having plenty of 9-to-5 jobs and plenty of 9-to-5 people here, has a huge chunk of the population working at night because this is a night working town. I mean, the casinos don't shut down at 6. Okay, day's done. Got the take for the day. We're good. They're open all the time. And you have to have people manning it. And you have to have waitresses working. And you have to have pit bosses. And you have to have, you know, an entire, you know, hotel staff working the entire time. It's a night working town. That, to me, that would be the biggest single concern about putting a team here. If you had a population here of 3 to 4 million, you know, there's only X amount of the percentage that have to be working. But it's 585,000, and not with a gigantic metro area. That becomes the concern. But they've got a brand new arena. They're building it. They've gone all in on getting an NHL team. Bill Foley has certainly gone all out on it. The Maloofs are in with them with a percentage as well. And we'll see. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more from Las Vegas in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Luck be a lady tonight. Luck be a lady tonight.
Sinatra would have been 100 last week, December 15th, as a matter of fact. And Joe Paterno would have been 89 today.
Yeah, I got an email at stevejones@wkok.com from our friend Doug in Wellsboro. Said to he thought that would be part of sports history today.
No, not his birthday, no. But I wanted to recognize. I didn't even know Doug texted it. I just mentioned it on my own. But, Joe would have been 100. Or excuse me, Joe would have been 89 years old today. And I think this was the anniversary of, I was talking earlier about this. This is the anniversary of the Doug Flutie dropkick. You know what the Penn State record is? For a drop kick?
No.
51 yards.
That's
Pete
a drop
Moffy,
kick.
The college Hall of Fame, although the ball was a little bit different, not completely, but slightly rounder in 1912. But he kicked a 51-yard drop kick against Pitt in 1912. Moffy was a great player here. College Hall of Famer, held the scoring record here for 59 years, held the single season scoring record. Joe would have been 89 today. Odell Beckham Jr., one game suspension. Tyrann Mathieu out for the year, torn ACL. Steven Jackson is signed with the Patriots. And tomorrow night we've got Penn State and Colorado here at 10:30 with a 10 o'clock Eastern Time airtime. You're saying, wow, you guys are playing late. But remember, it's 7:30 out here. We're on Pacific time. So it's a 10:30 start. Colorado's 10-1. They're good. And then you've got SMU on the other side, which is 9-0. And then you've got Kent State, which is 7-2. Pretty good tournament. When the three opponents here are 26-3. Not bad. Penn State's 8-3. So we're looking forward to that tomorrow here. And we'll be back here tomorrow. Nathan Davis, by the way, has moved to Wednesday. Our thanks to Jim Roth for being on the show today. Southern Columbia's head coach. You can catch it on stevejonesshow.com on the podcast. And check that out. Jack Hamm is on the show next week, as a matter of fact. to preview the tax layer for you. Penn State is practicing today. Penn State practiced Friday, had Saturday off, practiced last night, they're practicing today. Then the team is off for Christmas. And their next practice after tonight will be Sunday night. And then they leave for Jacksonville on the 28th. And the great news for Penn State football is that Brent Pry, who was under heavy consideration for the Georgia Southern head coaching job, is staying at Penn State. Brent is an outstanding coach, excellent linebacker coach, recruiter, really good communicator. That's big, and moving forward, I think very important that Brent Pry stays on the staff, and he will. That's it from Las Vegas. I already spent Kevin's money. Thanks
for
joining us.
That didn't take long. Thanks.
Tomorrow. I think I bought something with it, actually. I figured I was going to lose it anyway.